Good morning. We're going to be in Mark today, so go ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark. We're in Mark 1, and if you've got them on your phone, open them up to Mark 1. So it's the last third of the Bible, where Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are the four Gospels. So we got Mark 1. We're going to read from 21 through 28 today and dig into this event in Jesus' life. Good morning, Zoom people. How are you guys? I saw a little baby on there this morning. Oh, adorable. Adorable. And good morning in here. We are in Mark 1, 21 through 28. And this is Epiphany. We're remembering the wise men, the magi came from far off, and Gentiles were accepted into this fold that had just been Jews until that point. So this is what the text says, starting in verse 21. And they, this is Jesus and his disciples, went out to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. If I was going to title this sermon, it would really simply be those words that are underlined, but take a second and pull out a pencil. If you're at home, go ahead and like jump off, grab a pencil, because these two words are so essential. Underline them. Astonished and authority. How often are we astonished by authority? I think a lot of times we're not, because it's very rare to find somebody who actually acts in authority. And here's why. Let me give you the spoiler alert. The thing to remember is this: authority comes from identity. Authority comes from identity. Actually, I'd even state it a little bit more boldly, that authority is identity. That as we realize who we are, and as we act in line with who we are, that's what real authority looks like. When I think authority, one of the first things that pops into my mind is the authority, the police. And this is probably the best police officer I've ever heard. Andy Griffin. Anybody remember that show? Yeah, some of you remember the show. This is an old one. It's still in black and white. They hadn't even got color TV yet. But the thing about Andy was this. Yes, he was a police officer. But when Andy was a police officer, he acted the same way as when he was dad. And he acted the same way as when he was interacting with his neighbor. Andy knew who he was, and his authority came from that identity. Are you with me? And we all know this, right? Maybe you've had the experience. Most of the police officers that I interact with are good people. They know that their job is to protect and to serve. But every now and again, I'll get pulled over by one that, that just sounded like I got pulled over probably a lot more than I do. But every now and again, I get pulled over by one that just, man, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got an ego. You can quickly tell that he's not working from his identity and from his authority, but he's working for it. See, that's what's going on, is the scribes in Jesus' day, they had a political position of authority. They had went to the right school. They had earned the right degree. They had bought their way into the right appointed office, but it wasn't who they are. And I heard it best. One of my daughter's friends said it this way. She was hanging out with this boy, and this boy said something that was supposed to be really impressive, and she said, "Nice flex, bro." You know, that's when we're not working from identity. It's when we're trying to be somebody that we're not. And so the question that I'd pose to us, it's really easy to talk about them and how they do it, but to look in the mirror and go, okay, am I working from authority or for it? Am I working from my identity or for it? As Christians, we got to get this right because it's so easy. This is not the gospel. This is not good news that God loves you if you're good enough. That's the opposite of good news. Because I know that I blow it in every way possible. And in Scripture, it actually says the good that I want to do, I don't do, but the evil that I don't want to do is what I end up doing. We're all caught up in this cycle. And if we try to take what we do and have that earn our identity and authority, we're always going to be working for it. And it's always going to come off empty and hollow and shallow. Are you working from your authority and identity? Are you working for your authority and identity? And I'd actually pose it a little bit more. The question I'd write in my margin is, where am I working for my identity? And where am I working from it? Because we all know that we're sinners and saints at the same time. We go from living in our identity to living for our identity multiple times throughout the day. I want to drive into this authority identity thing, and I think we got some, do you guys know the word zeitgeist? I learned this word. It's the spirit of the age. It's the vibe of the room. It's what's going on right now. I noticed this. Go ahead and click. Anybody else hooked on this? No. Okay, then I've got to explain what it is. This is Cobra Kai. It started off as a YouTube series and then got picked up by Netflix. But what it is it's the actual original actors. Anybody remember Karate Kid back in the 80s? They brought Daniel LaRusso. They brought, I just forgot his name, Sweep the Leg, Johnny. Sweep the Leg, Johnny. They brought them back and they're actually acting in this movie or this TV series. And what's amazing by it is it was the number one watched thing on my Netflix this weekend. And I had to ask why. And I think part of it is just the age group that's watching. You know, there's this longing for nostalgia when you could judge a woman's beauty by the height of the poof of her hair. Are you with me? But I think there's something else to it. See, in it, Daniel LaRusso, if you've never watched Karate Kid, he was the guy that was kind of bullied, and then he did the crane kick and won the tournament back in 1983. And fast forward to 2020, and Daniel LaRusso now owns a car dealership, and he's pretty successful, and all of his marketing still employs the karate metaphors, even though he hasn't done karate for a decade. See, that's the thing. How easy is it to let our identity become what we were? See, identity isn't what you were. It's not that thing that since you succeeded in eighth grade or high school or college, that's who I am now. See, identity, it's not about some past highlight reel. And I think that one of the things that we can actually learn when we apply Scripture to watching the Netflix show Cobra Kai is how easy it is to get caught up in our past success or our past failure and what we were. But what Scripture is constantly telling us is God is doing this new thing. God is renewing our minds. God's renewing our bodies. God's renewing our strengths. God's giving us a new old identity. God's saying, I've washed you clean again. You're mine again because I died for you once. I'm returning you to that identity, not because of this thing that you did. The other thing where I think we're getting really messed up on identity, on who we are, one of them is the highlight reel. The other one, I've started following this photographer on Instagram, and I love it. The photo on the right is what the couple posts. That's their engagement photo. The picture on the left is the picture of the photographer taking the picture. Isn't that incredible? See, that's what so much of our life we focus on, and we see that picture of the right, and we think my identity is this perfectly framed and polished thing. It's what I choose to show you. It's what happens when I let you in. But no, the identity, it's the whole picture on the left. See, identity, this side of heaven is never picture perfect. It is never picture perfect. Please, please, please stop. Just stop. Stop with the highlight reel. Stop with the I'm good enough. No, our identity. Our identity is never, ever picture perfect. And I think it's one of the reasons we don't see a lot of authority, because so many people are striving for that picture perfect, and so they're working from this false thing, not identity, and so you don't see the authority. See, identity is who and whose we are. It's both who we are and whose we are. Who are you? I mean, it's easy. I'm Henry Graff. No, who am I? Henry Graff might be taken away. They might change my name. They might say, sorry, Henry Graff is taken and copywritten, and you got to change your name. It happened to a Michael B. Jordan, famous actor. He was born Michael Jordan. He had to add the B because some other Michael Jordan. No, who are you? Let me tell you this. My identity is pastor that's going to be taken away. Someday I'm going to retire, and I'm not going to be a pastor anymore. And if that's where I've built my identity, I am, oh man, my identity is dad, it's going to be taken away. Someday they're going to, oh, I hope, someday they're going to move out of the house and they'll be self-sufficient and they'll do their own thing. And they'll still call me dad, but if I build my identity as the provider and protector, man, they move outside of that someday. See, the identity that can never be taken away is who and whose I am. I am a beloved child of God. You are a beloved son of God. You are a beloved daughter of God. You are His. He died for you. He chose you. You are His. That's your identity. And you work from that identity. You have that authority that our God is the King of kings and lords of lords, the ruler of the universe. Identity is about who and whose you are. Now I want to warn you, be careful of this. Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead and go back. I want to read this because this text gets so intriguing. And immediately they were there. Oh, let me tell you where we are, okay? For those that are following along in paper Bibles. We're still in Mark 1. We're just picking it up. Did anybody notice that if you're going through Mark, that anytime the sentence starts with "and immediately," it's really hard to find? Like, Mark is like, "and immediately, and immediately, and immediately, and immediately." You want more on that? Pastor Scott's Bible study will unpack that a little bit, but it's amazing and makes it very hard to find your place. And immediately, this is verse 23, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Sometimes this is translated demoned. And he, that is the demon, cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying out in a loud voice came out of him. Man, this is a weird text. But it's sandwiched in between this identity. Did the demon say, did the unclean spirit say anything that wasn't true? No. Did the unclean spirit say anything that wasn't accurate? No, the unclean spirit said, you know, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? You know, that wasn't a question. That's the way that, you know, we get that. Have you come to destroy us? Yeah. Yeah, I have. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy sin, death, and the power of the devil. That's the whole purpose. And then the demon says it clearly, "I know who you are, the Holy One of Israel." So why did Jesus rebuke him? Well, here's why. Click. The voice matters. Who's saying it matters. How many voices do you have that they tell you something that's true about yourself and then flip it? How many times have you in a fight actually used this tool? Oh, and you tell somebody true about themselves even though you know it's going to rip their heart out. Man, you're a great spouse. It can have that truth, but it can also have that, so why are you living like that? Why are you blowing your identity? How easy is it that we can say, hey, you sure are a great employee, but now if you want to keep being a great employee, you better deliver higher and better and longer and faster, even though you're burnt out and tired. Right? We can fall into this the whole time. The question is this: what are those voices in your life that they're profound half-truths? They tell you you are good enough, but they add the if in after. See, that's how Satan dealt with it when he tempted Jesus just in Mark, a little bit earlier in Mark. He said, if you are the Son of God, I know that you're the Son of God, then you would do this. But no, identity is who we are because of Jesus' sacrifice. To pay really close attention to those other voices, go ahead and click. See, that's what Jesus was saying. This is not my first rodeo. And as I look around the room, we've been there before. We know how easy it is to slide from our identity as beloved children of God into believing the lie and trying to work for it. And there's nothing wrong with work, but it's when we're working for it rather than from it, it becomes toxic. And we lose the authority that we have as God's children. And that's what sandwiched in the middle of this is that Jesus does this miracle. Jesus reminds us who I am. But right before the verse, it's authority and identity. And right after the verse, and they, this is all the scribes, all the teachers, all the people who saw this, they were amazed. And so that they questioned themselves and said, who is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding regions of Galilee. And guys, that's our prayer, right? That's our prayer, that as we live into our identity as beloved children of God, that as we exercise that authority that God has given us through the cross, that God's fame will spread, that more people will know of God, of a Jesus who laid down his life for you and for me and gave us a new identity in our baptism. What I personally like to do is to just stop after I've written a sermon and actually look in the mirror and go, okay, James 1:22 this. What's that mean? James 1:22, if you don't know, it's don't just hear what the word of the Lord says, do something with it. This week as I was looking at this one and hearing that there might be a snowstorm and so service would be late and knowing that a lot of people would be on Zoom collected with their families, I went back to Acts where when Jesus ascended, he said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. See, when Jesus said that in Jerusalem is where he was. Sorry, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and he was standing in Jerusalem. He was standing in that place he had gathered with his disciples so many times, and it made me ask the question, how do you witness in Jerusalem? How do you witness within your own 4 or 8 or 6, however many walls you have at your house? How does your spouse, how does your child, how does your parent, how does your grandparent, how does whoever live with you need to be reminded of their identity, not just here on Sunday, but every single day? How am I reminding Trish and Adeline that they are beloved daughters of Christ, that that's where they get their identity? How do I do that not just on Sunday from the pulpit, but on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday? How are we reminding each other to return to the identity that we have in Christ? I want you to struggle with that. Not so that you can earn it, but because you already have that identity. We remind each other. And that's why week after week we remind each other of the whole narrative, the whole story, the whole kit and caboodle, from creation to life eternal, as we stand together And I saw this. If you're there on Zoom, you can go ahead and stand if you want. You've been sitting for a little bit. I'd invite you guys to stand too if you're able and it makes sense. But confess with us our faith, reminding each other in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you pray with me? Good and gracious Father, we praise you and we thank you that you know our hearts. You can see through us to the very core of our spirit, into that spirit which you breathe life. Forgive us for sometimes wearing those masks, trying to hide things. You can see through all of that. You can see through all of our mess. You can see through all the things that we've left undone. You can see our shame. You see our guilt. You see all of our sins. And Father, we ask for your mercy and grace. We ask that you cleanse us from the inside out. Give us a new spirit that commands your will in our lives. Father, let us lead in your footsteps of humbleness and forgiveness. Lord, we pray that we stop trying to find our identity in anything other than you. Teach us to hear your voice and not believe the enemy's destructive lies about who we are. We thank you for our uniqueness and that we were made in your image, and we want to understand and feel the deep things in your heart for us. We choose to believe the truth about how you see us. You have a vision for our future. Help us to live a fruitful life. And let that fruitful life overflow to others. Give us greater authority in our prayer life. We want to know you on a deeper level. You know, help us remove or help us hurdle those obstacles that stand in a way of a deeper, more meaningful relationship with you, Lord. Father, we ask that you be with this congregation, its members, the staff of this church. Hear their prayers, Lord. Heal their families. Mend those wounds. Comfort them with your mighty arms, Father. Father, we ask that you be with the leaders in our country. Help them find their true identity in you and let them lead a life of service for others as you have led us. And when we struggle with those words, you have given us your perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.